I want to turn your attention to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Come tonight to consider the parable of the sower. That familiar word. The parables are so instructive. And Christ on this occasion supplies the interpretation so that there's no questioning what he meant. And we trust the Lord will help us tonight even as we look to his word. We see here that there was a great number of people gathered together to hear the Lord. He ministered to them. And it says in Luke chapter 8 and the verse 4, when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. We'll end our reading there at the verse 18. You will notice the emphasis here in this parable is about hearing. Hearing. In verse 8, the Lord says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And our final verse, verse 18, take heed therefore how ye hear. And I want us to think tonight about the reception of the word and how we need to prepare to receive the preached word. With our Bibles open, let's just pause for a moment's prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee now, and we pray, Lord, that as we come to this time when the word of God is open before us, that we would indeed have those ears to hear, that our hearts and our minds would be open to your truth, that you would write your law upon our hearts. Lord, give us the help of the Spirit, even as we come to minister your word. The preacher and hearer must know the help and the ministry of the Spirit this night. We ask, Lord, that you would come and strengthen us in our weakness. Lord, that we would truly receive thy word with joy, and that it would take deep root in our lives and in our hearts. We thank thee for the word of a living God, how God reveals himself to us in the book. And we pray, Lord, that there would be a blessing to us this night in the simple reading of your word, the hearing of it, and the preaching of it. We ask, Lord, that it would be applied in our lives, and we would not only hear the word, but do it also. Lord, come near unto us. Strengthen us. Give us your presence. We feel our great need of thee again. And we would say, who is sufficient for these things? May we find our sufficiency in thee, the one who is all sufficient. And we know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so we commit this time unto thee, and we ask, Lord, that you would help us now as we look to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And this parable is truly a picture of the church assembled together to meet with the Lord, to sing his praises, to seek his face in prayer, and to give attention to the word that is preached. This parable really describes what goes on as a general rule in all congregations where the true gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. Wherever the word of God is preached or expounded, where God's people are assembled together to hear it, the sayings of our Lord in this parable are found to be true. The Lord God has ordained preaching as the divine means by which he continues his work. It's a means of grace, a means to glorify his name. And we are exhorted as the ministers of Christ to lift him up, to exalt him, that men and women would be drawn to him. We are to preach Christ. We are to evangelize the lost. We are given this ministry for the edification of the saints, for the building up of the church. And the pastor, then, in his work as a gospel preacher, is like that husbandman that sows the seed. The farmer must sow the seed if he wants to see a harvest. Likewise, the pastor goes forth week by week sowing the seed of the word in the hearts of the hearers. And the desire is, of course, that it would find a resting place, it would be believed, it would take root, and it would spring up to life and bear fruit. That's our desire as ministers of the gospel. Ministers are called to preach the word. Paul, exhorting young Timothy, said, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season." It may mean you have to speak a word of reproof or rebuke. He said, "Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." And the emphasis, of course, is sound, healthy doctrine that heals, that restores, that builds up the soul. Preach the word. So the message the preacher delivers is all important. The message, not the man, must be heard. And yet God chooses men to deliver his message. He has chosen the weak and the base and the things that are not to bring forth his immeasurable word, a word of power, his authoritative word. And the confidence of the minister then is in the authoritative word of Christ. The truth sown is the gospel message. We learn in this parable that the seed sown is the word of God. It is scattered upon the earth that men of every tongue, every nation would understand God's truth and come to a knowledge of the truth. And the Word of God, as Peter tells us, is like seed. It lives. It abides forever. It endures. It grows and it can produce fruit. Every child of God is born again of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the seed sown is the Word of God. The Word of God is always good and life-giving. And having received mercy himself, the minister stands to deliver the message of Christ, understanding that it is a great responsibility. And when he considers a responsibility, he has to ask himself, who is sufficient for these things? Like those of old, Moses, Gideon, Joshua. Who is sufficient for these things? The minister has been entrusted with a solemn responsibility. It is a great calling, a calling that requires careful preparation. Contrary to popular opinion, the minister works more than one day a week. But the minister of Christ stands as an ambassador of the Savior. He stands as Christ's servant, Christ's ambassador, the Lord's messenger with the Lord's message. And he must be careful to give the Lord's message, not his own opinion, not his own ideals, not his own philosophy. That will not profit. He must deliver the Lord's message. And it is the preaching of the word without deceit, without fear, undiluted, that will profit the hearers. Paul, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, says there, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we continue. And he says, we preach the word in 2 Corinthians 4 and the verse 1 and 2. If you look there, he says, we have received this ministry, we have received mercy, therefore we faint not. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Because if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And so we must preach the gospel, preach the word of God without deceit, undiluted, commending the truth to the conscience of men. And Paul says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The minister then is to preach matters essential to salvation, the salvation of the soul, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is to adorn the truth. He is to affirm the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. He is to preach that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And this he does as one who watches for souls, as one who himself must give an account to the Lord, that he may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you, the hearers. Watching for souls, ministering unto the Lord. And the minister feels the weight of this. The burden of the Lord is upon him. He feels the weight of it, the burden of the ministry. There is that fear of the Lord, understanding the great responsibility entrusted to him. He works and he labors as if it all depends on him. And there is that diligent preparation, because this is a work that requires diligent preparation, study, and prayer on the part of the pastor. And yet he knows that though he sow, and water the seed, in the end, it is God that gives the increase. This is God's work. Men cannot make seed grow. They cannot give it life. God must give the increase. And so there is that seeking after the Lord for that word. We recognize as ministers of the gospel that without the Lord, we can do nothing. And so we're depending on Him to teach us, to show us, to give us the word in season for the congregation, for the weary souls that will be gathered in to hear the word. And yet God will not bless neglect. He will not bless sloth, the neglect of His word. And we are to give diligence to the word, preparing carefully as we come to minister, because it tells us, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, but if he sow bountifully, he will reap bountifully. But we take encouragement from the promises of God, because it tells us in Psalm 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so there is that faithfulness. Faithfulness and diligent preparation is required. Faithfulness in the preparation of the word and fervent preaching of sound doctrine, God blesses. He has promised to bless. But just as the pastor must be diligent and faithful to prepare the word that he is going to preach, so the congregation also must prepare to hear and to receive the word preached. There is preparation on the part of the pastor, but there's preparation on the part of the people as well. And that's why the congregation is called upon to, first of all, pray for the pastor in his ministry. Pray for him in his study of the word. Pray for him in his times of preparation. And this you are, as a congregation, diligent and faithful in doing. Pray for the man who will stand to deliver God's message, who will come to feed you from the bread of life, that he might make manifest the mystery of Christ. You're to pray for him. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, he coveted the prayers of God's people. And every true minister covets the prayers of God's people for him in his work. If you look over to the book of Ephesians and the chapter 6, you have that word there that is contained in the very same chapter that has to do with warfare and battling and the work that we're about. It says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're to pray for one another. We're to pray for the saints. We're to uphold one another in prayer. And then he says in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Pray for one another, but pray for the pastor, that he would have that word from the Lord and speak it confidently with boldness as he ought to speak. So the congregation is called upon to prepare, to pray for the pastor in his preparation for ministry. But the congregation is also called upon to prepare their hearts for the Lord's day and for that entrance into the Lord's house. Our larger catechism, question 160, asks the question, what is required of those that hear the word preached? And the answer comes, it is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, Preparation and prayer. Examine what they hear by the Scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the Word of God. Meditate upon it. Bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. And you see in that answer the spirit of the Bereans, how they received the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures to see whether those things were so. And that needs to be our attitude as we come to the Lord's house, as we come to hear the Word of God, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's house. There is that preparation. Just as the minister prepares the meal through the week, so you likewise must prepare your heart and pray for your own soul. And see that the preaching of God's Word is important. This is an important time in our service as we come to the ministry of God's Word. This preparation is so necessary to that right reception of the Word. For the minister, he has been engaged in the work all week. He has been thinking about the Word, meditating upon the Word, preparing the Word that he is going to present, and it's warmed his heart. And you likewise need to have that preparation, or else you're going to come rushing into the Lord's house cold and not settled until maybe halfway through the sermon. So there needs to be that prayerfulness, that preparation, praying for your own soul, and see that this time is for the benefit and the blessing of your soul. It's a time of true communion. As you're coming to the Word of God, praying that you would be sanctified through the truth, knowing that God's Word is the truth. It's the diligent duty and desire of those who would hear the word proclaimed. They prepare themselves carefully. And so we come then ready to hear from God. You come with a good appetite as one who is hungry, one who is desiring to be fed that spiritual food nourished up in the words of faith and of sound doctrine. You come longing to hear. And having then received that word, your necessary food, you are strengthened and you can go forward and face the week ahead in the strength of that meat. And the Sabbath is to be a delight to the child of God. It's a time of joy as we come into the Lord's house to hear what the Lord would say to us. So there's that preparation beforehand. But there's also that concentration in the Lord's house. Concentration. Our approach to the house of God should be marked not only with a readiness to hear, but reverence. Swift to hear, slow to speak. And we're coming desiring to hear the word of the Lord. And that means putting away distractions and concentrating on the Word of God. Not taken with the daily cares of the past week or the week to come or your plans for later, but just concentrating on the Word. And that means engaging the mind. When it comes to the preaching time, it's not a time to be passive, to sit back and to sleep. It's a time to engage the mind and the heart, receiving the word with readiness of mind. Some people find it a good habit to take notes. It keeps them on track. They give close attention as they follow along and record the main points of the sermon. It helps them to take it in, to digest it, to concentrate on the word. So it's a time when we think about what is being said, a time of concentration. And for many of us, that is a battle. It's a great battle in the day and age in which we live. It has become so hard in this modern day of media marketing. For people just to sit still and to hear aright. We have no problem watching TV for an hour, our favorite show. But the battle really is on when we come to the Lord's house. The adversary seeks to distract, to snatch away the good seed of the word so it does not find a resting place in your heart, lest it should be believed and bring forth fruit unto perfection. And so the adversary is at work. And we need to pray that the Lord would bind the strong man and that He would make the word profitable, that we would not allow ourselves to be distracted by other things or distracting to other people, but give attention to the Word of God. That, again, was Paul's exhortation to Timothy. Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine, that your profiting may appear to all. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to the word as it is being read. It's so good to see God's people turning up the verses that are mentioned, looking at them for themselves, studying the word, following along in their Bibles, giving attention to the exhortation, the message proclaimed, to doctrine. Doctrine is so important. So there is this diligent preparation of our hearts for minister and hearer alike. There is that concentration on the message in the Lord's house. And we do that in order to a proper reception of the Word of God. And that's where the four kinds of ground come in that are mentioned here in this parable. We come to four kinds of ground on which the seed falls. All heard the word. The one seed was sown, and of all the hearers, just one heard properly. We are so taken in this day with statistics and surveys and what George Barna has to say. We follow those things carefully. Well, here is a heavenly statistic. Here is Christ's estimation of those who hear the word. Only one in four hears the word aright and receives the word properly. There are three kinds of ground that are unproductive. Only one produces good fruit. The different kinds of ground here upon which the seed fell, it represents the various classes of men and their response to the word. And as we consider them, we have to ask ourselves, well, what kind of hearer am I? You have to ask yourself, am I a good listener when the word of God is preached? How do you receive the word? We have the four kinds of ground mentioned here, the four kinds of soil. We read, some fell by the wayside. By the wayside. Maybe you are the wayside listener. He rejects the gospel. The wayside listener represents a life hardened by sin. The wayside is that well-trodden path. It's hard, it's crusted over. And the seed lay exposed on the surface. The fowls of the air come along and they devoured that seed. The wayside listener is one, as R.C. Trench said, he has exposed his heart as a common road to every evil influence, until it has become as hard as pavement. He has exposed his heart as a common road to every evil influence. so that the word preached does not penetrate the hard heart. He is one who sits carelessly, indifferent, unconcerned, unmoved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ crucified for him means nothing to him. The word just rolls off him. And all that is mentioned, the mention of sin, of redemption, of holiness, it's really unintelligible to him. It's without significance. His heart is hard to the things of God. He is the wayside listener. They do not receive and hear what is said. Really don't give it a second thought. Maybe you're like that tonight. You don't give the things of God a second thought. You come and you go. And you know, the amazing thing to believers is that there are times when you can feel the Lord's presence in the meeting. And it has that heavenly atmosphere. And the word is proclaimed with power. And the gospel is preached faithfully. And it's amazing to us as Christians that a hard sinner can sit through it and get up and leave and not give the word a second thought, unmoved, unrepentant, not changed. They leave the service and forget what was said. Is that you? You just come and you go. You have no second thought for the word. You are the wayside listener. Maybe you are like the stony ground hearer. The stony ground hearer is one who professes to accept the message, but in reality does not. Is that stony place? The stony place was a rocky place with a thin layer of soil covering, but there was no depth. And the stony ground hearer is one who seems to be moved by the word, touched by the truth of God, but he does not allow the truth time to take root. And his interest in divine things soon wilts when he's put to the test. Oh, the stony ground hearer, he receives the word with joy at first. There appears to be good interest. There seems to be great promise for them. They seem to be moved by the word. They enjoy the preaching. They sing the hymns. They come and are challenged and stirred. The word makes a quick impression. They appear to be earnest and interested in the things of Christ for a time, but the response to the word is a superficial one, because when the test comes, when the trial comes, you realize that their enthusiasm is only temporary. For when the sun comes, they wither up. And such are those who maintain a form of godliness, but have no power within. There's no deep inward reality. It's maybe only a surface religion, external Christianity, but no roots of grace. And the troubles and afflictions which are meant to strengthen true faith cause a faith which is merely temporary to fail. And as soon as such a person, say, is pressed about their religious convictions, about what they believe, about their church affiliation, about Christianity, they're like Peter. They deny the Lord. And so there is that superficial response at first. The first sign of opposition or temptation or trial, they turn away and they deny the Lord. There has never been a deep-rooted work of faith, a stony ground hearer. Like those who are mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 33 and the verse 32, they hear the words of the preacher, and the words of the preacher are unto them as a lovely song, as one that hath a pleasant voice that can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Are you a stony ground hearer? You hear, but you do not do the word of God. We read also, some fell among the thorns. The thorny ground listener. The thorny ground listener is one who is so absorbed with the world's cares and pleasures and plans that the sermon becomes unfruitful and does not profit him. He's trying to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. He's trying to serve God and mammon, and yet he's so enraptured by the world that he cannot give it up. The cares of this world choke any good intentions and resolutions he may have. Perhaps there is an attempt to serve God and still live in the world, to hold on to the things of the world, and yet it cannot be done. Because we know God's word says you cannot serve God and mammon, and the weed and the thorns of sin will always overtake you. You cannot have the world and Christ. There is really a halting between two opinions. Elijah in his day challenged the people, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Maybe you're like Felix. When Paul ministered to him serious things of righteousness and judgment to come, weighty matters of the law, he knew what he needed, and yet he said, some other time, some more convenient season, I just want to enjoy life now, then I will call. But that time for Felix never came. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church of Christ. Friendship with the world, John tells us, is enmity with God. Are you a thorny ground listener, so taken with the things of this world that you do not profit from the things of Christ? But then we read finally that others fell on good ground. The seed sown, the word of God, falling on the good ground. The word is heard, the word is believed, the word is understood, and the proof is there is fruit. The good ground bears fruit. There's evidence of life in the soul. There has been a real, genuine work of grace done. And the evidence that there has been a right reception of the word is that it bears fruit in the life. The seed falls upon good ground. That person accepts the word and lives by it. There is this conviction of faith. Faith, we read in Hebrews 11, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the foundation upon which he lives. Faith, a conviction of faith that inspires hope, that assures the soul, that sets that person on fire, that sets him to work for the Lord, because faith works. It produces fruit. True faith works. The word being mixed with faith. The word falling on the good ground. It's not a barren orthodoxy or a show of religion, but the truth captivates the heart, transforms the life, so that the life that he now lives in the flesh, he lives by the faith of a Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. And that faith comes by hearing, we know in Romans 10, and hearing by the word of God. There's a right reception of the word. There has been that preparation. There's concentration on the word that is preached, and there is that application of the word in the life. A faith affected by the gospel of Christ. A faith that is of enduring substance, that endures affliction and temptation. It is confident in Christ. Come what may, it stands true. the word falling on the good ground. And so what's the application, the conclusion here to this message? The Lord himself concludes with these words in verse 18, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." Are you a wayside listener? Are you a stony ground hearer? Are you a thorny ground hearer? Are you a good ground listener? And what does this mean? This means that the Word of God is so important to those who are assembled together. We must realize this truth. We must realize the importance of God's Word and the need for us to attend to it. To some, it will be a savor of life unto life. To others, a savor of death. But Christ emphasizes over and over and over again in his ministry the importance of the Word, of knowing it, of reading it, heeding it. In the day of his temptation, he resorts to the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. He tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that the wise master builder builds his life upon the rock, upon the Word. He is one who hears the Word of God and does it. And so the preaching of a sermon, the preaching of a sermon really is a matter of life and death. The soul's salvation or loss, heaven or hell, eternal bliss or eternal destruction. Serious, serious themes. And when Paul preached to Felix about those weighty matters of faith in Christ, he reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, no small matters. And though he trembled at the word, still he refused. "Go thy way, some other convenient season, then I will call." That time never came for Felix. The word must be accepted. Now is the day of salvation. And the sermon is to you a call, an exhortation to think about the Word, to search the Scriptures, that you would have that Berean spirit and that you would be considered nobility in the eyes of God. Don't let anything distract you from receiving the Word, from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this we say to you as ministers of the gospel, because we speak as those who are concerned for your soul, as those who must give an account, as we all will. I will be accountable for my preaching. You will be accountable for your hearing of the Word. I trust today the Word will be mixed with faith, and that you would indeed take heed how ye hear, that there would be that proper preparation and reception of the Word every time you prepare and come to the Lord's house, that you would be a good listener when the Word is preached, and that you would receive the Word with ready obedience, a readiness of mind, and a willingness to do what God says we should do. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts this night. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to Thee this night, and we thank Thee for the Word of a living God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We pray, Lord, that our hearts and our minds would be turned to Thee, that we would delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. Thy word is pure, David said, therefore thy servant loveth it. Lord, give us that hunger and thirst for your word, that every time we come to the house of God, we would come with an appetite, longing to be fed, that we would be nourished up in the words of faith, strong in the Lord, going forward, strengthened by the meat that we have taken. We pray, Lord, that you would bless your word to every hearer this night, that it would find a resting place in the heart, that it would bring forth fruit, fruit unto righteousness, the fruit of life, and that there would be that yielding unto thee. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us in our congregation. Bless our ministry here. Bless the word as it goes forth. We thank thee for the promise of your word, that your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish your divine purpose. And we pray that would be the case this night, Lord, that you would accomplish your divine purpose in us, that you would mold us and shape us and make us to be a people who are conformed to your word, transformed by the word, who seek to discover what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our lives. So lead us on with yourself. Bless this word, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.